I'm going to talk about the Lion King, the secret to a successful family. I would like to say that most of the information that I have picked up from lions, that I've gained from lions, I've gotten from Dr. Larry Guthrie, so I'd like to give him credit for that this morning. But if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 12 and verse 7. It will be one of our texts this morning. Now we're going to look at a couple different scriptures there in Job. Job chapter 12 and verse 7. Give you just a moment there to find that. Your Bible probably doesn't automatically open to the book of Job. Unless you're going through a tough time, some trials in life, then it might. Job chapter 12, verse 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. So the scripture says that we have some things to learn from beasts, from wild animals. And then chapter 35 and verse 11. Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and maketh us wiser than the fowls of the heaven? So again, so there's much that we can learn from God's creation and from animals. And today I want to talk about the lion and see what we can learn from the lion. It's written that though man and beast were both created on the sixth day, men did not originate from animals. Okay? Man and beast were separately created. In the Bible, we see that men, though, are compared to animals. The Bible teaches us that animals have qualities that we can emulate or avoid. The man of God, Job, here tells us that we can ask the beasts of the field and see what we can learn from them. So even animals can teach us things about how to have spiritual character in our lives. We take, for example, the lion. In Proverbs 28, verse 1, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1 says, "The righteous are bold as a lion." A righteous believer serving Christ is a bold, fearless lion. And that would be my prayer for all of you today, that you would serve Christ, that you would be bold in doing so, and that you could learn from the lion and his boldness today. And then, of course, Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so he has some lion-like qualities that we can emulate in our life as well. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for today. We ask that you would bless this word to our hearts this morning. I pray especially for the fathers here and the husbands, but Lord, also for the children and for that stayed in the service and for the ladies, that they can learn some things and also know how to pray for their husband. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The male lion is the secret to a successful pride of lions. And just like the father is the secret to a successful family. Now that is a secret that is hidden today, and fathers have been much maligned and much ridiculed. And so this idea of the father being the successful part of the family has kind of been hidden. I like to watch sitcoms and some of the older sitcoms, and even some of those you can see how the father started being maligned and how the father was usually wrong and the children were usually right. So even back then we saw that, and we see it in full force today. But fathers, by your presence here today, just the fact that you came to church, you are living God's design and you recognize the importance of your role in the family, and for you that secret is not hidden. But as the father goes, so goes the family. And this is illustrated perfectly in the world of nature. It's illustrated in the lives of the African lion. Lions were once heralded as the king of beasts. They were held in reverence and awe. Today, the male lion is put down. People talk about his abusive nature, his cowardly behavior, his dependence upon the females for his provision. He is much maligned today. But I see a great parallel between the African lion and the husbands, the fathers, the males in our culture. The position of being a father was once held in great respect, was once revered. But today, there is abuse, there is cowardice, there's abandonment. And just like lions, healthy families are disappearing from the face of the earth. Just like the African lion is decreasing from the plains of Kenya. Fathers, again, let me just get this sink into your heads this morning and into your hearts that you are the key. You really are the key to success. On the plains of Kenya, where there is a dominant male lion who oversees his pride, maybe 20 to 30 lionesses and cubs under his jurisdiction will see 40 to 50 cubs raised to maturity. That is a healthy pride. It's a growing pride. Those young go off and they start their own prides. But where there is no dominant male, where there is no male lion in charge, a pride of lions over that same period of time may fail to raise even one cub to maturity. That's why lions are disappearing from the plains of Kenya. That's why healthy families are disappearing from the face of the earth. And dads, I really mean this message today as an encouragement to you, and I hope that's not a burden. Here's some things. This African lion, he doesn't do a whole lot. He sleeps an average of 19 hours per day. He roars once in a while, then he goes back to sleep. Now understand that some of these analogies break down in places, okay? Actually, I guess we could say he's resting in the Lord, right? I mean, do we dare rest less than 24 hours a day in the Lord? But let me share with you some things about this lion. First of all, lions have eyes that are placed wide apart on the front of their head. In fact, for the size of the head of a lion, his eyes are spread out further than any other animal. And it's very important for a lion to be able to measure distance. The binocular vision that those eyes provide allow lions to measure distances. Similar to an eagle, they can measure distances within fractions of an inch. After all, if you're a lion and you're running 40 miles per hour and you're ready to jump on the back of a water buffalo, you have to count the cost. You have to measure the distance. Can you imagine what it would look like if that lion is running about 40 miles an hour and he takes off and he lands 4 feet on the other side of a wildebeest? Or he takes off and he doesn't measure the distance right and he comes up short with his nose planted in the dirt. So it is for fathers. We must have eyes to measure the cost. If you and I are going to raise a successful family, we have to have eyes like a lion. Before we take the leap, we need to know how far we have to go so that we don't miss the mark or we don't come up short. By the grace of God, He will help us count the cost, whether it be our time, our finances, or whatever it might be, that God would give us eyes to see, that we would count the cost, that we would have eyes like a lion. I once had the privilege of looking into the eye of a lion at a distance of about 12 inches. That was close enough. Fortunately, there was a piece of glass between us because I was at the zoo. But if you ever get the privilege of looking into the eyes of a lion, you will see that they glow. They have a brightness about them, and their eyes just seem to glow. Their eyes are constructed like the eyes of many other animals in that behind the retina, there's a reflective substance that reflects the light back out the eye. So when a lion sees things, he actually sees things twice. The light comes in and the light goes back out. And as it comes back out, it is golden. It is bright in color. And so that lion, he sees things twice. He sees once as the light goes in through the retina, but he's from the outside in, but then he also sees when that light is reflected back from the outside forward. And so again, he literally sees things twice. He sees them from the inside, from the outside in, and from the inside out. I think that we need eyes like a lion, in that we have the ability to see things twice, that we might be able to see things from our perspective as being a father, as being a dad, as being a husband, but that we also have eyes to see from the perspective of those in our family. And most importantly, that we have perspective to see from the eyes of God what our other family members see. So my prayer for you is that God would give you the ability to see things twice, that you would see things that you need to see as a father and as a husband, but you would see things that God needs you to see as well, things that you would see about your wife and your children. If you see things twice like that, it will brighten your eyes. Second thing about lions here is they have massive canine teeth. It's probably no big surprise to you, but they have these big canine teeth, two big ones on the top, two big ones on the bottom. And I mean, they are big. One of those teeth will stand almost 3 inches long, not including the root that is up there in the bone. These massive teeth are used for grasping. They're too big to chew with. As a matter of fact, lions do not chew. They slice. Their back molars are made to be sharp and don't have flat surfaces. So they do not chew their food. They simply slice it into pieces that are small enough for them to swallow. A lion will eat 60 pieces of meat in one meal. It'll take a drink of water, come back and eat 40 more pounds of food. Do you realize what it means in terms of body fat for you and me? That's a big meal. It's a big meal. But the canines are not for chewing. They are simply for grasping. While lions attack its prey, it grasps and it holds on firmly. Lions kill mostly by strangulation. They will grab an animal by the throat, and those canines will grasp the throat, and they will clamp down with such incredible power that they will shut off not only the trachea so that the animal cannot breathe, but they will also cut off the major arteries of the throat, closing them so that the animal faints before it is strangled. Sometimes they will grab the snout, the muzzle, and they will hold on, sometimes engulfing the whole muzzle of a zebra in their mouth. And with those grasping teeth, they hold firm and they do not let go. We need teeth like that. If we are going to be successful, we need to grab the truth and we need to hang on to it and not let go. If a lion lets go too soon, he's in big trouble. He's out of position. That animal is up kicking and it's gone before the lion knows what happened. So he's patient as he holds to the truth. He grasps it and he holds and he holds and he does not let it go. That's what we need to do. We need to be like the lions. We need to grab the truth and we have to hold that truth no matter what. We cannot let the truth go. The third thing about lions I want to share with you this morning is, like many cats, they have retractable claws. And this is really important if you are a lion. Their claws are huge, as big as your finger, and they are razor sharp. But you would imagine also that these claws make a lot of noise as a lion walks across this hard-packed soil of the plains. It's like walking here with a bunch of little metal tips on your shoes going across a parking lot. Click, 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 click. Not a very good way to sneak up on someone. And so the lion has these claws that retract so that they can stalk their prey. They make no sound. But of most interesting to me was the fact that when a lion disciplines his cubs, he retracts those claws. He retracts those claws before he corrects. I want to encourage you to be like that lion. And when you discipline and you correct your children, retract your claws. Scripture tells us that we are not to provoke our children to wrath. If you fail to retract your claws, you damage a child physically. You damage a child emotionally. And this is what happens in those lion prides where there is no dominant male. The big brothers or the sisters begin to take on the role of that father in correction and discipline, and they don't do it in love, but they do it in anger. And so again, fathers, retract the clause. Never discipline your children in anger, but do it out of love, because you will wound their spirit, and you might wound more than that. We need love. We need care. We need mercy. That really only the Father can give as He disciplines and corrects. The fourth thing about lions is that they have truthful tails. The tail of a lion is one of the best indicators of what its intentions are all about. Lions are not deceptive. They telegraph what they are going to do. All you have to do is watch the tail. Fathers, you need to have truthful tails so that you don't surprise your family with your intentions. So they know exactly what is in your heart with no surprises. When a lion's tail is up high and it's bobbing back and forth, they're pretty content. They're happy. But the lower that tail goes, the more serious the situation. And if the tail comes down to a horizontal position, if it begins to twitch back and forth, you know that a charge is imminent. All the other lions know it as well because they read the tail. You can also read a lion's intentions by his teeth. He shows you the amount of teeth. If he shows his teeth with his lip curled up on one side, it's a warning. If you ever get in this position and you see a lion with his lip curled up, showing his teeth on one side, it's a warning. But if you see a lion and both those lips are curled up and all of his teeth are exposed, don't turn and run. Don't turn and run. Lions will attack if you turn and run. So what do? You stand firm. You stand your ground. The courage, greatest courage, is marked by the tribesmen of Kenya who have wounds on their chest. The greatest humiliation in their tribe would be to have wounds on their back. If they had wounds on their chest, it meant they stood firm when facing a lion. But if their wounds were on the back, it meant that they turned their back and they ran away. Dads, it would be my desire for all of us that we would stand firm, that we would stand our ground, so that we would stand and everyone would know our intentions. Everybody would know where we stand, that there would be no deceit in you. I'm amazed that when Jesus began his ministry and John introduced him, those who saw him said, "Here is somebody in whom there is no guile, someone in whom there is no deceit." May our hearts be like that. May you have a tail like a lion, so that everybody who watches your tail knows exactly where you stand and what your intentions are all about. You know that Satan is a roaring lion as well, right? 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, let me tell you that the devil does it through lies. He does it through fear, and he does it through deception. This old teaching story comes from the great African tribesmen where they would be out feeding their herds. And as the herds eat their way across the plain, the lions wait in the tall grass nearby, anticipating the chance to prey upon the grazing animals. In preparation, they send the oldest and the weakest members of the pride away, understand this, away from the rest of the hunting pack. Having lost much of their strength and most of their teeth, the roar of these old lions is far greater than their ability to bite. So the lions go off and they settle in the grass directly across from where the strong and hungry lions wait and watch. As the herd enters the area between the hunting pack and the old lions, these old lions roar mightily. And at the sound of this roar, these animals then run in the opposite direction of the roar, and they run right where? They run right into the hunting pack. Right where the strongest lions wait in the tall grass for dinner to arrive. If you ever get in a situation like this and you hear a lion roar, what you want to do is you want to run toward the roar. The old people would tell the young ones, when faced with great danger in the world, run towards the roaring. Go where you fear to go, for only there will you find some safety and a way through danger. Trouble is that when it first appears, that roar can awaken a person's deepest flight issues. And in times of tragedy, a person either steps into life more fully or slips into a diminished life characterized by fear and anxiety. The modern world, fathers, church, the modern world has begun to roar. Satan is a roaring lion, and he is constantly roaring. And there is the temptation to have great fear. And this fear comes upon people of all ages. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't run from the things that scare you. Don't run from the things that frighten you. Don't run from the thing that you think is the impending danger, but move toward it. Because if you fail to face your fears, they will be always there right behind you. You must suppress that little voice inside that's telling you to get out of Dodge. It's not your friend. And when you feel the panicky fight or flight sensation and you want to run away, do the opposite. Run toward the roar. When Satan roars into your life, through the grace of God, attack him. Pick up the weapons of warfare and fight against him. You have come perhaps into the kingdom for such a time as this. This is the moment when you might be able to stand and defeat the lion in your life and the lions in the life of your loved ones. Now, the devil doesn't have a truthful tale. The devil does not tell the truth. In fact, there are several knots in the devil's tail. They are N-O-T-S, knots in the devil's T-A-L-E. I'm speaking about the lies that Satan speaks and he causes other men to speak. Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Let me share with you several of these knots in the devil's tail. So you know that the devil is not truthful. These are the things that we need to stand against. We need to stand against these lies with truthful tales, with the truth. The first knot in the devil's tail is found in Genesis 3:1. Satan said to Eve, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God did not say that. God had not forbidden Adam and Eve to eat of every tree, only the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Satan misquoted God, telling Eve this lie. His purpose was to divide man from God, to cast doubt in Eve's mind concerning God's goodness. Satan still does this today. He tries to bring a separation between you and him, and he tries to get you to think that God is not a good God. It is a lie. The second knot in the devil's tail is found just three verses later. He said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." God said plainly, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So again, Satan lied to Eve, saying, "You shall not surely die." The tempter told her the forbidden fruit was delicious and much to be desired, and she should go right ahead and eat regardless of what God said. Why, God won't keep his word. You won't really die. But God always keeps his word, and they did die, spiritually at that moment and physically by degrees. God said to Adam, "For out of the dust wast thou taken, and into the dust thou shalt return." The New Testament says, "As in Adam, all die. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of many shall many be made righteous." The third knot in the devil's tail, is Job 1:9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" Or for naught. Satan's strategy has always been to throw doubt on God's goodness and man's sincerity in loving the Lord. The fourth knot in the devil's tail was spoken by Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees. When a man who was both blind and dumb was brought to Jesus, he healed them. Scripture says, "Insomuch that the blind man both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed." And they said, "But this must be the son of David." When the Pharisees heard it, they say, "No, this is not David's son. This is not the Messiah. But it's Beelzebub's son, who is the prince of devils." The devil doesn't want you to know that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And he will cast doubt on that every opportunity that he gets. And then in Matthew chapter 16, it is Satan using Peter to try to thwart the plan of God for our redemption. "As the time came near for Jesus to go to the cross, he explained to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many indignities at the hands of the elders, scribes, and chief priests, and be killed. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee. But the Lord Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." How ridiculous for a man to rebuke the Lord and contradict what the Lord has spoken. And yet how often Satan tempts us to sin. Abraham was tempted to lie about Sarah, and he did. David was tempted to commit adultery, and he did. Moses was tempted to smite the rock in anger, and he was, and he did. All of these great men of God who sinned, now, they were tempted by the devil. And so we need to realize that the devil is going to come, and he's going to try to spin the tale. He's going to try to spin the truth, and he's going to try to deceive us. He's going to try to get us to do something wrong. And so we need to have the whole armor of God put on us so that we may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceit, the lies, the knots in the devil's tail. That we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The final knot. I'm sorry. I keep getting ahead, I guess. John chapter 8 and verse 13. "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thy record is not true." Here's what Satan would rather have you believe: the scientists than believe God. He would rather have you trust your feeling for salvation rather than trust the Word of God. He would rather have you believe man's theory of evolution than God's truth of divine creation. He would lead you to believe that there is no burning hell when God has said very plainly that there is such a horrible place. When the Pharisees told Jesus his record was not true, they were trying to make God a liar. When men falsely declare that Jesus is not God come in the flesh, the Bible says they are deceivers and they are workers of Satan. Dads, your children are combated with so many different philosophies today, so many theories. You have to have a grasp on the truth so that you are able to share the truth with your family and point out the reasons why these things that they are being taught are lies. Have truthful tales and recognize the tales of other lions when they are not telling the truth. And here's the fifth point about lions today. Lions have an awesome roar. You can hear the roar of a lion over 2.5 miles away. Fathers, we need to learn how to roar like lions. The roar of a lion has two purposes. First of all, it says to all the members of his own pride to come together. It signals them and gives them his location so that all who hear can come to where he is. It draws the pride together. Now understand, it's the same roar, but those not within his pride also hear that roar and understand that he's saying something else, that he is staking out his jurisdictional authority. And he's saying, this is my territory. Do not cross it. This is my pride. This is my lioness. These are my cubs. Don't you dare come near them. Don't you dare cross into my jurisdiction. It is important for fathers not only to roar in such a way as to draw your family together, but you are saying to others, this family is my responsibility. This is my territory. This is my jurisdiction. I am the one that is responsible for them. Fathers, we must be like that lion and roar and say to our families, you are safe and secure when you stay by me. You are safe and secure when you are under my protection. You are safe and secure when you are under my authority. When you are living in my jurisdiction, nothing can harm you. Our wives, our children, they need to feel that kind of security. We also need to tell the world that we are fathers. And we're not ashamed of being fathers. And we take our responsibility seriously. This family is my responsibility. All this comes naturally to lions. Just the way lions are. And I believe that it should come naturally for those of us who are in Christ as well. By his grace and by the gift of his Holy Spirit, these things should just come naturally for us. But many times there are things that interfere. There are distractions. As among lions, there are other lions that prowl and seek whom they may devour. For among the prides of Kenya, there are roaming males, single males that roam together in bands who seek to destroy the security of these prides. They attack not the females, not the cubs, but they go after the father. They go after the dominant male, for they know that if they can dethrone him, the rest is easy prey. These roaming bands of nomads roam in the plains of Kenya, intruding into the territory of these dominant males, and they will attack. Usually there's 4 or 5 of these single lions that travel together, maybe even 6. And they come, and when they attack, they do not attack as a group, but they attack one lion at a time in succession in an attempt to wear down that dominant male. One will fight for 10 or 15 minutes, going around and around in circles. And when that first lion has given his best shot at dethroning the king, he will retreat and another will come in and pick up the fight. And then another one and another one and another one. That dominant male, the king, as he is, has to stand there and take on one onslaught after another, after another, after another. If he is able to stand, if he is able to drive the intruders away, they will leave and they will go search for somebody else. They will go look for someone that's weaker, but they will leave him alone. But he has to stand. If those roaming bands of nomads are able to dethrone this dominant male and chases him away so that he runs and abandons his responsibility, the first thing that they do is that they come in and they kill all the cubs. There may be 20 cubs in a large pride, 5 or 6 in a small pride, but the first thing they do is they come and they kill the cubs and they eat them. They devour them. The second thing they do is they rape and abuse all the females so that they abort the cubs they are carrying. Then they attempt to establish their own dominance, but there's bickering and fighting among themselves. And usually what happens, the bickering and fighting among them is so great that not one single one can assert his authority. And as the band of nomads come, another band, it's easy to drive this band away. There's no loyalty there. There's no one that's really in authority. And so they come and then they try to establish their own dominance. But there's bickering and fighting among them as well. And as they come in and they kick out those male lions, again, they kill all the cubs and they rape and abuse the females. And this happens over and over again on the plains of Kenya. So that over the course of 10 years, where a pride does not have one dominant male to protect it, that pride fails to raise even one single cub to maturity. There is no fruit. But where that male will stand, where he has eyes to count the cost, where he has eyes to see from God's perspective, where he has teeth to hold the truth, where he retracts his claws so that he doesn't wound his young, where there is no deceit in him, that his intentions are clear, and where he has a roar that establishes his authority and says to all, "This is my responsibility," where he is able to stand against those who would seek to devour, there is much fruit. There are many cubs. And fathers, this is what we are here for, to raise our children to spiritual maturity. We are here to raise a new generation that, if the Lord were to carry, that new generation will carry the standard to the next generation. It's the cubs that will carry the message of Christ to a time that perhaps you and I will never see. But we must not fail them. We must stand as lions against the foe. I'm grateful. I am grateful today for you men. I pray that God would be gracious to you and you have successful families. I pray that your wife and your children pray for you, because they don't really know the struggle that you have. They don't understand these lions that you're continually fighting off. And you're standing there strong. I pray that they will lift you up in prayer. This church is here to assist you. But I want you to know that you are the secret. You are the secret to success in your families. Now let me hear you roar. All the dads on the count of three, all the husbands here today on the count of three, let me hear you roar. 1, 2, 3, roar! I actually think we can do better than that. You, by roaring today, you are saying two things. You are saying, cubs, lionesses, come gather around me, because there is safety and security where I am. And you're saying to all those other lions out there, this is my jurisdiction. This is my authority, and I take it serious. Okay, on the count of three, one more time, roar. One, two, three, roar! That was a lot better. I like the gruffness. The gruffness in the voice. I remember hearing somebody who's living in Chicago. They moved like 2.5 miles from the Brookfield Zoo. And they were saying that they picked a terrible spot to move to. They said they were actually in the flight path for planes as they were coming in and out of O'Hare. And they heard these planes all night long. And they said that they were also in a not too far from when there was trains where they would change tracks and they would hook up new boxcars and that. So there's clink, clink, clink all night long. And then they 2.5 miles from the Brookfield Zoo. And he said, I got used to the planes. Didn't hear him after a while. I got used to the trains. Didn't hear him after a while. But I never got used to the roar of a lion. Said I would wake up in the middle of the night after hearing the roar of a lion, and I'd wake up in a cold sweat. Father, I pray that we become that intimidating to those who would try to overtake our families. Here's what I'd like us to do. I know it's kind of late here, but I would like all of the fathers and the husbands. If you're your dad or a husband here today, would you come forward? Please. I realize this is not an easy job. I don't care if your children are grown or not. You still are always a father. Look how large a percentage that was in the church. I know we were down in attendance today, but you take these guys out, that's a lot. Could you face the congregation? I know you'd. But I'd like one of the ladies to come up here today and pray for these men. Because I want all of you ladies to start doing that. Here, I want you to pray that your husband has eyes to see. Sometimes you complain, my husband doesn't understand me. Yeah, he might not have your perspective. Would you pray that God would give him eyes to see not only his perspective, but yours as well? Pray for your husband to have a truthful tale. Pray for your husband to have sharp teeth, that he would learn the truth and not let the truth ever go. Pray for your husband that he would roar, that he would stand his ground and be the authority in your home and the security in your home that I know you all desperately want. Is there one woman here? Just raise your hand. You say, Pastor, I'll pray. Okay, Joan, I saw your hand first. Would you come to the microphone and would you pray? And I would like all of you back there to reach out your hand to that special one that's up here today, as far as you are concerned, and pray for them as well. Joan.
Dear Lord, it's an honor and a privilege to pray for these bold men, Lord, that they would get boldness in their hearts, in their minds, in you, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would come down and they would roar in your roar, Lord Jesus, that people would stop and wonder and fall back, just like they did with you, Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross. Holy is your name, Lord Jesus. And in and through these men, you live and breathe and have your being, and let your being cry out to this world that needs to hear from you, Lord Jesus. And let their teeth be grabbing on to the truth. All these things that Pastor had said, that are the attributes of a lion, the Lion of Judah. I do pray, and I continue to pray, and we pray every single day for boldness of men to rise up and let the wives be behind their husbands, submissive behind their husbands, to have blessings fall down on them, Lord. Whether they are Born again or not, Lord Jesus, your word says that we should respect our husbands and we will get blessed. And I thank you for my blessing. Hubs are our children, and they're yours, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you minister through each one of these men. And I thank you, Lord, in your holy and precious name. Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed.